Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Welcome to our second...
our second show on Free Fire Radio.
Okay, we're going to be working through the bugs here a little bit, you know, the microphone and the electronics because...
and the sound.
Yeah, and this is going to be on YouTube, and today we have a really interesting topic. But before we get there, we have a couple of announcements.
We have a lot of people to thank, first of all, that with our Fred Chavez, who is here doing all the filming... along with our other friend Tony over there, who is doing the rest of the filming, which is going on YouTube, so that you can see us also see the show on YouTube. That's also attached to our website, freefireradio.com.
We also want to thank Joe and Shelley. Thanks so much for offering your place. Just a little over a month ago, this was a storefront that they've completely turned into a meeting room so that we could do a show like this and other events as well. By the way, sandwiches for those who want a lunch are provided over there. I wanted to please remind you that on November 21st, mark your calendar. I'm going to start off with a local event here. November 21st is Christmas for the Troops. This is going to be at the Vets Hall. And if you're looking for something special to do, this is a great outlet. There's going to be an Italian food, the Lou White Band, and it's $7 for adults and $5 for kids. But even better than all of that is that you can be part of what it is to put together packages that are going to be going to those troops that are deployed during Christmas time. So many of you may recall I did a concert a while back, and my DVD, it started with this whole thing. So now it's an event. We want you to be a part of that packaging night. It'll be a lot of fun.
And we also want everybody to remember that today, 26 years ago, the attack on our Marines and sailors in Beirut occurred. And we lost 241 Marines and sailors 26 years ago today. You know, sometimes we forget, you know, while we're having our sandwiches, we're having our beer, and we're traveling, there's a war going on. There's two wars going on. You know, one war that we've won, but are still probably in danger of losing, and one that we could lose if we don't do something about it. Right now, our troops are doing so well, you know, so brave. You know, these young men and women joined after 9/11. They knew what they were getting into. We owe them our support. That's one of the reasons we're doing the packages, to let them know we care. But it's also, we can't forget that 26 years ago today in Beirut, my war on terrorism really started that day. Since then, every fight I've been in has had Islamic terrorist fundamentalist somewhere in the equation. Other things.
And this is why it's important for us to bring Free Fire Radio to you. For many of you who are listening online right now at freefireradio.com, we started our show over 2 years ago, which was really about trying to have a voice for the veterans. There are over 20,000 veterans living in the North State, and this show is coming to you live from Redding, California, and we're just thrilled. Well, how about, let's hear about it. I mean, yeah, there's 1,000 people here.
And the hundreds of thousands that are listening on the internet right now. Okay, and in conjunction with that, the city of Redding and the North State takes care of their veterans, or tries to. Right, and one of the things that's going right now is the stand down for 2009 at the Shasta District Fairgrounds for all homeless veterans. A hand up, not a hand out. It goes October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. They're going to be getting shelter, food, community services, job services, medical services, clothing, legal assistance. Probably there's not a lot of homeless that are listening to this right now, but we can go out and we share this with the homeless vets, the men and women that need this help. And it's not just men anymore. It's also their families. So let's not forget about that. And we can also volunteer things like clothing. It's not too late to do things, to provide the clothing and even help down there. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to one of our guests, before we start on our subject today, which is the Second Amendment. Is the Second Amendment under attack?
Calls are coming in.
Via Second Amendment under attack from the state and at the national level. Or are they? Our first guest, though, before we get started with that, is Mike Quinn. Mike, come on up here. And there's something happening in our state right now that maybe many of you all don't know about that is going to have a huge impact on our economy and our people. Mike.
Well, next Monday here in Reading, we're going to have our friends from the Department of Fish and Game, and they're going to come and they're going to give us a draft proposal of their what they're going to do as far as planting fish and the whole hatchery system. And this is under attack. Believe it or not, they have to attack our fish and the ability for us to go out. They've already, even though this is a draft proposal, it's already in place. They started this year with the high mountain lakes, and they said, we're not going to go put fish up there anymore because we're afraid that the fish we put in are going to kill the frogs and the fish that are already there, the native fish. Well, the problem is we've been planting fish for 100 years. If there's still frogs and there's still native fish, then it hasn't happened. And they just said we're going to do that. And there's a lawsuit that they're reacting to from a group out of Oregon, which is suing California for our policies on hatchery fish. In the middle of the summer, in July, they listed the creeks that they are going to stock, and they stopped stocking them. So I don't know how they call it a draft proposal when it's already in effect. This is a threat to the North State in a number of different ways. Number one, I like to go fish. I like to be able to go out there and go to a lake and catch a fish. And our economy is based on it because Shasta County in particular is probably one that got some of the best fisheries in the world. If you start over at Fall River, Hack Creek, Upper Sacramento, the McLeod, the lakes, our Sacramento River down here, you know, we can't fish for salmon anymore. The trout fishing there is some of the best in the world. And people come from all over the world. This is going to affect our economy here if we say, okay, we're not planting fish anymore. And when you really get down to what they're saying is that there's a lake, and every year, let's say, we put 1,000 fish. We've been doing it for 100 years. Well, no one counted the number of native fish and frogs that were in that lake to begin with, 100 years ago when we started putting them in there. So what they have to do now is they have to go count all these endangered species in the lake. But no one knows what the starting point was because we didn't count from the beginning. So they're going to come up with a number. What good is a number? It's got no relationship to anything. They are going to have to do this for every stream and every lake. They're going to have to certify them, do an environmental impact report on every single lake and stream, and they are never going to get it done. They're laying people off. They're in the budget crisis that everybody else is, so pretty soon they're going to say, we can't do it. We're just not going to put any more fish in the streams.
Now, Mike, there's going to be a meeting about this, though, so I mean, we still have something to say about this, right?
We have a lot to say, and we need a lot of people out there saying it. This is going to happen at 5:30. It'll be on Monday, the 26th, at the Builders Exchange. And we need hundreds and thousands of people showing up saying, this has worked for 100 years. It's just fine. Leave it alone. Why are they reacting to somebody from Oregon in the first place? It's none of their business. If they want to do it up there, that's fine. Environmental impact reports didn't exist 100 years ago. No one even thought about doing it. And then you look at the fact that we've built up a predator base. If they put 1,000 fish into this lake, well, now you've got eagles and osprey and otters that have been protected all these years, and they live there, and they're expecting 1,000 fish every year. If they don't get 1,000 fish this year, they're going to eat up all the natives and then move on. So what they're doing is basically ruining the entire ecosystem of California. We need to stand up, we need to be vocal, and we need to tell them, and we need to spread this word. It's absolute insanity. Their science and everything else that they put on. Again, 5:30, Builders Exchange, this Monday, October 26th.
Mike, thank you so much for coming today. This is
You're welcome.
Really important. I mean, we're already at almost, 20% unemployment? And let's just keep adding on more and more, taking away more jobs. I mean, first they shut down the salmon runs, and now they're just going to shut down everything. You know, let's make California the way it was 100 years ago, you know, or 200 years ago, where, you know, you didn't have there wasn't a lot of jobs, and everybody spoke Spanish, and, oh, okay.
Good point. And if they shut down the hatcheries, how many people work there? How many people are involved in this whole process of planting these fish? And yet it brings money back. And we were going to present some numbers that night just on how valuable the fishing industry is to California. We've got detailed figures on that, how many people are employed by it, boats that are sold, lures that are sold by county, by everything, and then the hotels that people stay in. So this affects everybody up here, and it's just another attack on our rights.
Thank you, Mike Quinn.
Thank you. Mike
Quinn. We'll be there Monday night. Also, before we go before we introduce our special guest today, we would also like to give thanks for our Free Fire Radio website design master and our special guru over here, Brad Fisher.
So if there's anything wrong, if there's anything wrong with it, Brad's got his phone number on there. Don't call me. But there's two other people I need to introduce. Many years ago, when I was 18, I know it's hard to believe that I was ever 18 years old, I met a fellow 18-year-old when we started college together. And since then, we have lost track, and we've gotten back together, and I can tell you that he had a profound impact on my life in many ways. Helped me find my way back to the dorm. I'd help him find his way back to the dorm. It wasn't enough just to live on campus. We lived off campus together, and the amount of trouble this man got me into, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was a naive, sheltered young man, a boy, and he just led me down the path to drinking and other things like that, and partying, and riding motorcycles, and making pipe bombs, which back then was okay because, you know, we were just fun-loving kids. But Eric called me last night, and Eric Bracken and his beautiful wife, Patty, are standing right back there. Please, you know, kind of hold your hands up. He was traveling through. And at some point, Eric, you'll be able to say something here to get even, all right? Eric is probably, he's a world-famous artist that, you know, many of you maybe not even heard of, but if you're up from the Northwest, he is very famous, and he was outstanding. He was such a great artist even back in 1966 when I was 6 and he was 20. So, anyway, Eric, thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk to you later here on the show. Okay, you ready to start?
We're ready to start. Hey, by the way, before we begin, what do you think of this poster? Yeah, that was designed by Brad, and we want to thank Accent Digital because they have been with the PA system and all of this electronic stuff that we've got to do in order to bring this out through the thousands of people that are listening. We want to thank you guys. Now, shall we?
Okay.
To the panel.
Today, Second Amendment. Last week, health care. And the Second Amendment is on for today. We're okay. Our guests are... is Sam, I'm going to butcher your name, so help me out here, Sam.
Paredes,
that's right. And Sam has been working with the Gun Owners of California, and your position is?
I'm the executive director.
Executive director. Now, he's agreed to, he's so busy with what's going on in the state, and then he has just, he managed to roll in today to be here for our debate. And Sam's been a hunter, a fisherman. He's gone to Pepperdine University. His wife has worked in the state capitol since 1980. Sam started working with the Gun Owners of California in 1980. And after working for a couple of the governors and starting his own rifle manufacturing company in 1998, he returned to serve as the executive director of the Gun Owners of California, and is a member of the Board of Directors of the Gun Owners of America and Treasurer of the Gun Owners Foundation. Sam has spent his whole life in the outdoors. So thank you very much, Sam, for being here today.
Thank you, Carl. It's my pleasure.
And
On the other end of the table, on the left-hand side over here, is a friend of ours.
Ray
Hinneman from the Democratic Party of Shasta County. He's on the committee. And Ray, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Part of my gun experience is growing up on a ranch on weekends up in the Livermore Mountains. And I think one of the things that one needs to know is you need to learn about guns in order not to feel afraid of them. I've been a real estate appraiser. I've worked in the assessor's office. But I've been involved in real estate appraisal from 60 to 99 when I retired. I've been involved in politics actually since I was 9 years old, by way back in 52. My teacher gave all of us, I took it seriously, she gave us a homework assignment, because when I was growing up, the national presidential conventions were first being televised in 52. And I watched both Democrats and Republicans back to back, and it caught me. And I ever since then, I've been interested. I remember Eisenhower, I remember Adlai Stevenson, and I thought the Republicans, my folks were Republicans. I was a young Republican at one time. But I remember at the Republican convention in 52, they nominated a man named Joe Smith. I remember that because we had a friend by the name of Joe Smith. We were a close family friend. And, of course, he didn't win the nomination. It was Dwight Eisenhower. Anyway, and then I further got involved in the 1960 in a very Democratic area. I love these. I always go for the opposites. Was in East Bay, Alameda County, very Republican. I was a charter member of the Young Young Republicans. And then in 66, I did change. And so I've been involved in Democratic politics since then. But I'm an ardent supporter of the Bill of Rights. I have, I also do some political consulting, and up here the Democrats aren't the favored party, particularly at this time in life, but I had made my candidates include in their brochures the Bill of Rights. And I'll turn it back over.
Put your hands together for our guest, Ray Hinneman. And we have rules. We have rules today.
The only rule is the same rule we've always had, is that you be civil. And you check your weapons at the door. Okay. Bruce.
Oops.
Okay, well, what we're going to do again is we're going to start with a quick a concise statement from each side, and then we'll open it up for questions and questions that we have also.
Sure.
So, Sam.
Okay, as Executive Director of Gun Owners of California, we're the oldest pro-gun political action committee in the country, GOC and Gun Owners of America. We were actually created by my boss, Senator H.L. Richardson, who is one of the national godfathers of the conservative movement, along with people like Phyllis Schlafly and Paul Weyrich and some of the other luminaries that conservatives look for to wisdom. In 1975, GOC was created because it was the first time that a handgun ban was sponsored in the state of California. We were able to defeat that and virtually every anti-gun bill that went through the legislature until 1989. Ever since 1989, it's been an uphill battle. We've been fighting those people who would like to really take away all of our guns, our ability to shoot, and frankly don't like the Second Amendment. We are ardent and mortal but civil enemies. We believe that our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment not to protect our hunting, not to protect our target shooting, but as the last line of defense against a tyrannical government. If not for a populace that was armed, what has happened in virtually every other country in the world could happen, and that is that it becomes tyrannical and they rule and they govern and they use the power against the people. And that's what Gun Owners is about. We do only two things. We lobby in the state legislature to fight anti-gun legislation, to support legislation that is crime control and not gun control. And then we recruit candidates throughout the state of California, trying to train them, fund them, and help them to become candidates to run for state assembly and state senate. Because one thing we've learned is we don't make friends in the legislature. We either have them or we don't. It's a very, very rare occasion that we convince somebody that they're wrong once they get there. So our job is to elect our friends and elect more of them until we get a majority.
Thank you, Sam. And that sound in the background was the directly from heaven down to earth was, of course, that Harley starting up and leaving the parking lot. Okay.
We are a tobacco and brew, and this is the home of the Patriot Guard Riders, so it's great to keep great company around.
So, Ray.
Yes. I've put over on the table, it's this, so it'll get your attention, is the Bill of Rights. To me, the most sacrosanct articles in our Constitution are the Bill of Rights. And if you change any one of them, you've altered the Constitution. That's why I'm not in favor of altering the Constitution with doing away with the Second Amendment. I do believe that we need to sit down and talk on some of the gun issues, because there are some issues. What I have a question, I'm not sure how Sam's group came out on this. When we entered the Iraq War, one of the things that distressed me most, not the war itself, but what we did with our troops and our National Guard that we actually drafted into that war, is we taught them how to go house to house confiscating weapons. So the government now has a trained force, if they ever want to rely on it, to use these troops against us. We have to remember that our founding fathers, when they did the draft of the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment is probably one of the most liberal amendments around that ever emerged from just a new country. Because if you look at dictatorships, they begin to take away your right to bear arms and other things, if you ever had that right. Now, I probably sound like Sam's group, but...
I was going to say, Ray, that we were supposed to have like another side here. So far, I'm leaning on your side, too.
No, my concern, I had my ranch experience with my stepdad, and I think that was invaluable to me. I think one of the problems that the pro-gun people have is they're not trying to educate the urban people. I understand the rural people because I have part rural instincts in me. But if the urban people need to be shown that a gun is not their enemy, all you need to do is educate people on this. I brought one of my high school friends up to our ranch, and what happened, I was always taught any gun you pick up is loaded. He did not realize that, and we were in this living room, and he was playing around with this .32 special. He was on the rollaway bed behind me. I was in a chair. My sister was walking over towards us, and her friend was sitting on a couch. And he was looking at this gun, and lo and behold, it went off. There were 7 bullets in that rifle, and it scared the hell out of him, scared me too, scared everyone. None of us spoke when my mom was in another room trying to contact us. I think education would have helped him. I know it helped me. I'm not afraid of guns. I used to take people around hunting up at my stepdad's ranch. There are a couple of news items that happened in the past. The Stockton shooting in a schoolyard of the young kids. I think the person was using an AK-47. I thought that was the time for the NRA to really get down and talk about what limitations that should be applied to guns. And I say this because I believe in the right to free speech, but we do not allow child pornography, and that is a limitation on our right to free speech, and it's reasonable. But there are other reasonable things that we can that can be done on the Second Amendment. One of the major proponents, oddly enough, was, and then we get into the Brady's bill, and these two things were listed as supportive. There was a shooting at, I believe, it's either an insurance office or an attorney's office. I understand an attorney. But anyway, a man lost his wife, and his little girl was left without a mother. So what he does, he goes before Congress carrying his little girl on his shoulders, wanting some sort of gun control. It's always appropriate to talk. We saw what happened when we stopped talking with Iran and North Korea. One's developing a nuclear bomb, and the other has already tested a couple of nuclear bombs. I think as long as you're talking, you have an opportunity to fashion some sort of regulations or whatever. My concern is that I do not think you can take a hard stand approach to the pro-gun issue. And this is why I brought these in. It comes from an old...
Ray's holding up right now a stick.
Yep.
And green stuff, like switches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. One of the Aesop's fables, and it could have been Confucius, I don't know, but I think it was Aesop because that's the one I read. This will not bend in the wind, and if it becomes too hardened, it snaps and you lose it. This one, because it's new, will go back and forth and rebound. I don't want to lose the Second Amendment or any of the Bill of Rights. I do want us to be able to talk and discuss, because this is what America's about, and I love America. I have loved its political system. I don't mind disagreeing. I don't mind talking with people who disagree with me, because I enjoy the combat or interaction, because that makes me feel alive. That's why I'm an American. But I do think we can talk about it. I know that Sam and I might be able to talk about it, and I want to see people like Sam, because they need to project their arguments, as well as I don't agree with all of the gun control things, because I do think the far extremists do go a little bit to the extreme. And I would like to see us go a little bit more towards the middle.
Thanks, Ray. Right. Sam, I think that what I'm gleaning from that is that, you know, there's the need for a Second Amendment, but maybe some restrictions on the Second Amendment, that the term AK-47 was used. And this is the one you hear a lot from, is why do we need assault weapons? I mean, what good are they? What do they do for us?
Well, first of all, our conversation has to start with the Second Amendment, and I don't understand what part of shall not be infringed people do not understand. That is a starting point by our founding fathers. If our founding fathers did not want to state that a pre-existing right existed that was granted by their creator, that existed by the governments that preceded the United States and then was enumerated in the Second Amendment, if they had not wanted to say that the citizens had the right to stand up against a tyrannical government with their firearms, why wouldn't they have said, it's okay to keep your squirrel guns, it's okay to keep your bird guns, but you can't keep any of those assault weapon blunderbusses or the flintlocks that were the assault rifles of the day. No. They wanted the citizens to, when called to stand to defend this country, to come and stand shoulder to shoulder with the standing army and to be equally armed with their own arms, the same kind of arms that the army was using. Well, the whole issue of AK-47s and AR-15s and all of these things, you know, that's it's a myth, it's a fallacy. These guns just look like military guns. They are semi-automatic. They function exactly like these beautiful wood-stocked guns, stainless steel barrels, scopes on them that function semi-automatically. They function exactly the same way. They use a lot of the same ammunition, and some of the hunting guns are far more powerful than AK-47s and AR-15s. It isn't about that. But if you take that conversation a little bit further, why shouldn't we be allowed to have them? There's no reason. Why shouldn't you be allowed to have a Harley out there that can do 120 miles an hour, a Porsche that can do 200 miles an hour, and drive in a country where the maximum speed limit, in a state where the maximum speed limit is 70 miles an hour? Far more people die in automobile accidents than they do with firearms accidentally. And if you take out the criminal element and the gang crime that is created here in the state of California, our crime rate is almost non-existent. Is a bad thing, but approximately 7 deadly accidents with kids and guns in California every year. If you accept the fact that there are more than 40 million guns in private possession in California, that number is infinitesimally small. So the safety, the care that gun owners exhibit every day in California, is the proof is in the pudding. The number of accidents is very small. The number of times that law-abiding citizens use legally owned AK-47s, AR-15s, pistols, handguns, shotguns, to successfully defend themselves in California alone is somewhere around 300,000 times a year. That's without police being there. Most of the time, a firearm is never fired, but the mere presence of a gun gave them the ability to defend themselves. If you were to take away all of those guns, how many of those, the results of those personal defenses would have been travesties? Our death crime statistics would be through the roof. Remember, police officers and sheriffs, God bless them for putting their lives on the line for us every day. They are report takers. They show up after the fact. Even the Supreme Court said that the right for self-defense and the responsibility for self-defense is yours, not the government's, not the police. You can't sue them because they didn't protect you. It relies with you. So why shouldn't you be given the ability to defend yourselves with the most effective tools? We're not talking about bazookas. We're not talking about M1 Abrams tanks or flamethrowers or stuff like that. We're talking about the firearms that are commonly used throughout America, and they include AR-15s and AK-47s and those types of guns.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam.
At this point, we're going to go take questions on the floor in case you're just tuning in. It is, we are freefireradio.com, and our guests today are Sam and Ray, and we are talking on everything Second Amendment. So do we have any questions? If so, please stand and state your name, and let's get going.
Or the name that you're known by. Our phone number here is 530-710-0765.
And your name?
Barbara, and I want to pose to the Democrat over there. I can remember during Clinton era, Madeleine Albright going over there talking to the Iranians. Nothing was ever accomplished. They were killing our Americans all over the world at that time. Never did cease until we retaliated from 9/11. And like Carl was talking about the Marine barracks in Lebanon, our embassies in Africa, the coal, nothing was ever done about terrorism. And you can talk till your ears fall off, but the terrorists over there are willing to die to kill us. So there is no talking with an enemy that is hell-bent on killing us. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Barbara.
Let me
Okay, now, Ray, what you've just heard what Sam said about, you know, there was no restriction in the Second Amendment when they wrote this, in many people's opinion. The fact is I'm a law-abiding citizen, 30 years in the Marine Corps, been in places where, you know, that I still can't pronounce, but people shot at me. Right now, the state of California has said that I am going to have to give a thumbprint to buy a box of 22 ammunition, and yet I can walk down to the nearest marijuana dispensary that we have here, walk in and get a federally banned drug that we're spending billions of dollars to eradicate. So is there anything wrong with this?
I can remember the first time I went, I used to buy ammo, 22 bullets and 30-30 bullets, when I was younger. And then I went into a store, I think it was in the East Bay in Alameda County, and they required registration or at least an ID of some type. And that did offend me. One of the reasons Arnold Schwarzenegger is signing this bill is that he alleges is that the police have told him that that would help public safety. And this is, see, these are some of the issues that have to be discussed. Is the public safety issue from the police standpoint, from the actually a lot of mothers, and I'm not talking about hunting women. I had a sister who was a good shot, better than me. But there are mothers who are concerned about their children. And you're probably talking about urban mothers rather than rural mothers, because I think rural mothers know the realities far better. I the only type of bullet that I think should be limited or registered are those that can pierce Teflon. What is it? Body armor of police. Those I don't think should be permitted, because there's no reason to hunt a deer, possibly a bear, but even then you have a large enough rifle to shoot that. As far as limitations on the Bill of Rights or the right to bear arms, it says in the Constitution that we have a right to have a militia, and the states have a right to determine who can own a gun. But each state has a right to have their own militia. And this is really comes down to a state's rights issue.
We're going to go back on the floor here. We have another question. And your name is?
Mark.
Question for Sam. 45 years ago.
Hold the mic up.
Okay. 45 years ago, in the wake of the assassination of President Kennedy, Congress passed some restrictions on mail order sales of certain types of weapons. Would you consider that, looking back on that, an unreasonable infringement on the Second Amendment?
Actually, I do. I think that the fact of the matter is that it did not reduce the sale of those types of firearms and in any way, shape, or form. They continued at record levels after that. It was the 1968 Gun Control Act that you are referring to that put those provisions into place. And it's interesting that you mention that, because it was under the 1968 Gun Control Act also that they created this nationwide ammunition registration program, where it didn't matter where you went. If you were up at the McLeod River or Fall River or Bridgeport, and you went to a grocery store to buy a box of 22 ammo, you had to fill out a log. And these records were kept nationwide. Millions and millions and millions of them were kept nationwide. And in 1986, Congress actually dumped that provision of the 1968 Gun Control Act when ATF went to them and said, you know what? We've never solved a single crime with this anywhere in the nation, and we've had millions of records in 18 years, and it's a pain in the neck for dealers. We need to dump this law. Well, that is the basis of the law that Governor Schwarzenegger just signed into California. Those records stay at the dealers. They are not electronically transferred to anybody to do background checks. They have to send cops to the dealers. They have to somehow read the book and say, oh, Sam Paredes is in this book, and he bought four boxes of 45 ammo. You know, he's a Mexican, and he lives in East L.A. Maybe we need to investigate him. What criteria are they going to use to figure out who they are going to investigate on these registrations? It boggles my mind. It boils down to the governor, who vetoed this bill twice before, was willing to trade gun owners' rights for support for his water bond issues. The author of the bill, Kevin De Leon, is a member of the Latino Caucus, who is working with the Latino Water Coalition, and the governor needs them for his support in order to save some semblance of a legacy. And frankly, the way I put it is he whored out, and he traded away our rights. With regards to the mail order, there is no evidence that mail order purchases of guns was any sort of a problem, except that one case. So you have millions of guns that had been legally purchased mail order, and one wacko who should have been in prison, Lee Harvey Oswald, got his gun that way, and he would have gotten it by other means. So you curb the rights of law-abiding citizens nationwide in order to try to prevent that one type of a thing. Rights are too important. You will always have kook jobs, wackos, crazy people like Patrick Purdy in the Stockton schoolyard who you are not going to be able to prevent from getting guns any way, shape, or form. The same way that criminals can import millions of pounds, maybe even tons, of illegal drugs to do their trade in the state of California or grow it in our foothills, in our forests, around our lakes and streams, we can't stop them from doing that. What makes you think we're going to stop them from getting a gun or ammunition from other places?
We have another question from the floor. This is for are we cutting out because of bad battery? Okay, don't turn it. Don't keep this way. Face this way. Okay. And your name?
To remain anonymous, my name is Boo. And I think Sam actually answered the first part of my question, and I'll address this to both gentlemen. First of all, to Sam, how do you feel about, I know you're talking about Senate Bill 585 on the shipping of internet ammo, how do you feel about the recurring thought of AB 373, which is going to pick up to try to veto or override 962?
We have to do everything that we can to fight. When our rights have been taken away from us, we take every opportunity we can to fight. You see, those who would take away our rights, who do not believe in the Second Amendment, who do not believe that law-abiding citizens should have guns, they do not believe that we should be in the woods using guns to hunt, and they do not believe that we should be defending ourselves against criminals with guns, and that maybe if all the guns were gone, the criminals wouldn't have guns, and we'd be out there with pipes and bats and knives or something like that. Those people, every year, they come at us chipping away at our rights, and we are on the defensive. We are always on the defensive, trying to fight them. And what they do is, once they've pushed too far, they take a step back and say, okay, we're going to compromise, and we're only going to do ammunition registration. We're not going to take away all the guns. Well, we need to learn how they operate and start pushing back ourselves. Even though we know we're going to lose in the first committee in the Assembly Public Safety Committee that is stacked against us with people who could not be defeated in their districts if they were child molesters and convicted rapists. We will not win in that committee. That doesn't mean we shouldn't fight. So yes, absolutely, we should do everything we can, whether it's in the legislature or in the courts or in the arena of public opinion in our media, we need to be fighting. So those who believe and are supporters in the Second Amendment should support that effort, and we will be doing that.
Thanks, Sam. Ray.
We need to protect the Second Amendment. I agree with you on that. How we do it, I think groups have to get together and iron this out, because your concerns are very legitimate. But we, in the last 8 years, because we were under the threat of terrorists and things like that, we gave up an awful lot of our civil liberties. And we were under a soft type of martial law. And it's these intrusions into our personal liberties that can attack us and take whatever guns we have away from us. And this is something that, there should not be any warrantless searches. Every search you do should have a warrant, unless it comes under national security. That was banned, and that might be a topic for our future discussion. But I understand your concerns about the registration. The only thing I would want to see registered are the Teflon bullets that go through our police vests.
Okay, now many of the people from the more liberal side believe that, you know, how many weapons do you need? Why do you need to have the ability to buy unlimited weapons? And at what point is it too much? I mean, why do you need a 50 caliber Barrett sniper's rifle, besides the fact that they're really fun to shoot? It can hit a deer, clean it, and cook it the same day. But,
hey, Carl.
Okay, I digress from there.
Do we have a phone call?
We do have a phone call. And our caller today is Jim. Jim, good afternoon.
Working through the kinks.
Are you on there, Jim? Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on, Jim.
Okay, hey, this is great. A little education here. You know, the Second Amendment is there to ensure that the other amendments are ensured and safeguarded. Now, with that, now anyone who approaches the subject of removing or abridging or infringing upon the Second Amendment using the word child pornography in the same sentence with the topic is way off the beam, a danger to himself and a danger to the country. I thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Is that Jim Nelson? Is that Jim Nelson?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so.
Thank you.
Jim, are you still there? Are you off? Okay. You know, and I've said that, and I've seen that before, without the Second Amendment, the rest of the rest of the amendments are not worth the paper they're printed on. Let's just do a quick show of hands here. How many do you really think that the government is going to come after your arms via kicking in your door and taking your weapons?
About half the room.
Okay, that's about half the room here. And we're talking the persuasions from some of our leather-covered motorcycle friends to the ladies from the Tea Party and other people, too. You know, for me,
the thousands of people in the room that have traveled far and
to be here,
far, far travels.
You know, but the other thing too is, you know, and I wrote an opinion piece. It's on freefireradio.com on the front page. There is that the chipping away, and we talk about the chipping away. You know, how big a thing is it to give your thumbprint to buy ammo so that we can make sure that you're legal, law-abiding citizens? My problem with that is that it's already against the law for felons to have ammunition.
It's already against the law for them to have weapons. Why don't we just enforce the rules we have now and stop adding on more laws which cost more money? You know, the California legislature hasn't noticed that we're in deep doo-doo here as far as money goes. This is something else that's going to cost money. It costs time, and it makes law-abiding citizens that have earned the right to own a weapon or ammunition without having the government superimpose themselves on it, it makes them angry. And it makes them feel like nobody cares, which is the danger here that we're facing, that you really, truly believe that maybe nobody really cares what we think.
We have another question from the floor. And your name?
My name is Morgan. I was looking last week at the news, and you probably were too, and in Chicago, they had this amazing shootout. I don't know if you saw that. And you're thinking about the fact that here's four or five different guys suddenly get mad at you, pull out guns, and start an Old West style shootout. And so then you start thinking, this is what brings us to think about gun control. Or I used to live in L.A., and we had interesting shootings go on. We had a guy on the freeway, and he used his hunting weapon to shoot people on the freeway. And so you look at those things, and then you look at they're trying to do something to find out who has what. Well, that's a problem, of course, because it's not any of their business. But at the same time, how are we to control these guys or have some avenue of control for illegal weapons or even weapons going into the hands of these criminals or into the inner city where there's no education, as we were talking about earlier? Where's the balance here that doesn't infringe on the Second Amendment rights? Because we're all for the Second Amendment. We can't go otherwise. Otherwise, we will be like these other countries who are in dire straits. We'll be like Venezuela, which has a dictator it can't get rid of, those kinds of things. So where's our balance, though, to have some safety and control over these other guys who are out there shooting?
That's a very simple answer. The vast majority of people who are willing to use a firearm to commit a crime, no matter what type of a gun, have criminal records. They shouldn't be out in the streets in the first place. The one way to reduce and almost eliminate most gun crimes is to take those people that have been convicted of a felony and keep them in prison. The average person that finally gets lockup in one of our state prisons has 7 prior felony convictions before they make it to the state prison. Then they're paroled. And once they're paroled, the average parolee, of which 70% of those guys go back to prison, they're recidivists, the average one of them commits another 11 crimes before they're caught again and put into prison. The vast majority of law-abiding citizens will never commit a crime. They will use firearms to defend themselves, for their pleasure, for hunting, for collecting, just for aesthetics, because they want them. It is this criminal element that we saw the sharpest decline in the crime rates in California was when we started to put these people away for a long period of time and keep them there. Now the laws are being weakened to let these people back out. Now the courts are saying we have to let these criminals out of the prisons early. And that's how you reduce the crime. That's how you reduce gun crimes.
Ray, a rebuttal to this, or are you just going to pile on there?
What was the question again? I'm sorry, on that.
This was about, do we need any type of way of keeping track of weapons?
Right.
And then Sam's answer to this is, why don't we just keep the criminals in jail instead of turn them loose and give them another shot at us?
One of the things is that when you do the fingerprinting and the research, the people who have no records are cleared. The people who aren't are those who do have records. And it just if they're released, how do you tell if they're not? They're not going to tell you voluntarily, unless there is some sort of a statewide data bank to run people who purchase guns or bullets or things like that.
Well, we already have databases that. I mean, when I buy a weapon, when I'm allowed to. That right. They take my thumbprint, they've got all the information about me, and if I buy five weapons at the same time, which I can't do, however, they're going to run a background check on me for every one of those weapons. The fear I have with 962 is it's just the beginning. It's the nose of the camel gets into the tent, and then right after that becomes, okay, now it's rifle ammunition, and then it becomes the fact that, okay, we've got your thumbprint, but you know, and you've registered for 1 year, but that's not enough, so let's check it every time. And then, you know what, how do we know you're not really a criminal? And so now it's going to cost you money. And I promise you right now, Kenneth De Leon is going to do that. He has already said it, and he's going to do that. And he's going to try it, and he's got a bunch of spineless people at the top of our government, yes, Governor Schwarzenegger, who will trade away anything to get his agenda in, and it's going to hurt us. That's my problem. Now, we're kind of running out of time here.
We are. We're up at the almost at the top of the hour. So,
we have a couple of announcements we also want to make from the ladies back here.
That's exactly right. So, do we want closing comments? We want to close up this portion of the show? And remember, we have sandwiches over here, everyone.
We've also got a couple of comments, and then I also want to, if I can force him to do it, have my roommate, Eric.
I went over. Eric looked at me like, no.
You can have a few words here too. It's our show, Eric. So let us get through this, and then Eric, you can become famous after this.
Yeah.
So how about just quick closing comments, and then Sam, and then we'll make the announcements about there's something big coming down the road here. So Ray.
Okay, I want to protect the Second Amendment, and I'm sorry that the listener sort of misinterpreted the pornography thing. I'm in favor of every single amendment, and the gun, the right to bear arms, is crucial. That is one of the most liberal amendments that we have ever created in history. And that does protect all the other amendments. And this is something that is given to our states and the sovereignty of those states. And that's something that we need to recognize. This is a states' rights issue because it allows us to fight against the national government, although the Civil War might contradict that. But essentially, that's all. And if you don't, if we allow ourselves to go into another state of soft martial law in this country, just because of the terrorist bombings, then it doesn't matter. There will be no Second Amendment. There will be no right to free speech. There will be no reason for warrants. They will just trash you, period.
And that is another subject for us, is the amount of power given to the government. Sam.
Very briefly, first of all, I know that you're a Marine because you call every firearm a weapon, and in fact, it is a weapon when you use it to defend yourself, and they are guns, they're firearms, they're tools, they're inanimate objects, and when you use it as a hunting firearm, it's a hunting rifle. When you use it to defend yourself, it's a weapon. If you want to get involved, you want to fight for your right to keep and bear arms, I invite you to go to our website, www.gunownersca.com, G-U-N-O-W-N-E-R-S-C-A, so that you can be up to date on what's going on and what you can do, who you can write, where you can go, how you can make your voice heard, how you can participate in electing people who believe like you do in a clean defense of the Second Amendment. You know, it's interesting, when we compromise, when we sit down at the table with the anti-Second Amendment people and they want to compromise, how come a compromise always means that we have to give up a part of our rights? Ain't gonna happen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Let me just make one final comment on this. Is if you remember when the police department was running their scared ads, and it was a woman calling 911,
And she says, there's somebody breaking into my house. There's somebody breaking into my house. And the answer to from 9/11 was, well, we'll get there as soon as we clear this call. You know, the next sound should have been a sound of a 12-gauge shotgun being racked, and then a shot, and then another shot, and then she could have said, never mind.
And there you have it. Eric, do you have something to say? And then we have another announcement.
You know, I could tell some stories about stuff 40, 50 years ago, but I do want to say that the influence that somebody had over a guy, a young, impressionable guy in those days, to go out and try and catch a wild cow and milk it in this rodeo, you know, who had the influence over who? I was the kid on the farm that knew how to milk a cow, and I think I was taken advantage of. Anyway.
I still have scars from that, and... You never lived till you tried to grab a wild cow and it just drug you across the arena while you're trying to milk it, and it didn't want to. Now, we have an announcement back here from the ladies from the Tea Party. So,
and before we close, we want to thank you one more time, freefireradio.com. You know, this will be up on YouTube probably in a few days, and we want to thank our great team, and our especially for our panels. Please put your hands together, and thanks so much for your afternoon of introduction.
Hi, my name is Noni Fleming, and I'm with the Bostonian Tea Party Patriots. This is the group led by Greg Mann that put on the April 15th Tax Day Tea Party at the Sundial Bridge, which brought out almost 3,000 people. You're wondering what's going on.